OC Talk Radio, Orange County's community radio station.
You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Good afternoon and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I host this business talk show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show at some future date as a podcast, I would encourage you to listen to the live show during our broadcast times exclusively on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better, more timely decisions. We do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. And when you're there, select the Orange County section for the local journals area. Critical Mass, the radio show, is an extension of our 16-year consulting practice. One of the things we do is build CEO peer groups for executives and business owners. We do this in association with Renaissance Executive Forums. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their business to the next level. My business partner, Doug Gefeller, and I currently chair multiple CEO peer groups. Speaking of Doug, he's a master certified coach, a distinction achieved by less than 900 certified coaches in the entire world. Doug is the leader and partner in charge of our coaching practice. And Doug hosts a call-in talk show right here on octalkradio.net called The Coaching Perspective. Be sure to tune in on either the first or third Thursday of each month at 4 o'clock right here in the time slot. My book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, is the first book ever written about the peer group experience. It's available for sale on Amazon.com. Simply type in my name, Richard, F-R-A-N-Z-I, and up will come the book. If you'd like to learn more about our CEO peer groups or our executive coaching practice, then I would suggest that you check out our website, www.criticalmass4business.com. If you'd like to join the conversation today, follow us on Twitter and feel free to communicate. I'd be happy to respond. Maybe one of your questions will make it onto the show today. Just type in, go to the community section, community chat section on the octalkradio.net website. Put in your Facebook or Twitter name and you'll be able to be a part of the show. Okay, let's turn our attention to our first guest. I'd like to welcome Isabel Kaminsky for All Seasons to the radio show. Isabel, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, let's get right into the interview. Isabel, would you start by explaining to our audience your professional path to your current firm for All Seasons?
Well, sure. At the time that we started, way back in 1988, I had a partner, and we were both looking for something that we could do a little bit prior to the holidays to make some spending money. I had small children at home, and I thought decorating Christmas trees in the evenings for businesses after their regular hours would be the perfect thing. My husband would be home in the evening to watch the kids. I could go out, earn a little extra money, and have a lot of fun myself at Christmas time. And, of course, now as we've aged and we're looking towards retirement, this is a business I can have while he's retired. We can do our traveling, and I can come back in time to do Christmas every year.
So it is truly the definition of a lifestyle business, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. It's suited me just fine. It's provided me the creative outlet I needed also just for my particular personal self.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of artistic creativity. You showed me some of the samples of the work that you've done, and it is very creative, but it also requires a certain amount of structural and sort of engineering understanding, especially on the larger commercial jobs that I know that you do in your business for All Seasons. Could you talk to us about what it is today that for All Seasons is engaged in doing?
Well, we decorate both the interiors and the exteriors of homes and businesses, shopping centers, hotels, offices, corporate headquarters, anything you can slap Christmas on, we do it, only we do it artistically, we do it creatively, and we do it very uniquely so that our decorations stand out, as it were, from the rest. We try to make it look beautiful as well as functional.
And I'm sure that over the years, you know, as with any kind of endeavor that's creative, there's always sort of a awareness of the latest trends or the latest look.
Yes. Yes. Just like everything else, there are fashions in Christmas and trends and, you know, the best of the best. And, of course, this year features lots of very unusual colors for Christmas. Magenta, purple, lime green, shocking pink. These are not normally colors associated with the Christmas season, the red and the green and the gold and the silver. So it's a little hard for some people to take, although the lime green or apple green, as it's known, actually goes very well with the red and in the darker green of a traditionally colored tree. Although that's another whole thing. They're now making trees in all those crazy colors. So if you want to be very upscale and very modern, those are the colors to go with. Of course, you can always stay with tradition. Tradition is tradition. Just doesn't go out of style.
That's true. I guess I could say to the listening audience, if you're listening live to Critical Mass, the radio show, you heard it here first. When you're driving and you're going to different establishments and you start to see non-traditional colors being used, you heard it from the expert here today on Critical Mass, the radio show.
That's right.
Could you share, Isabel, with our audience, of all the lessons that you've learned in your business career, is there a particular experience or a key lesson or a guiding principle that you use to lead For All Seasons?
Well, you know, you just can never sit back on your laurels. In the business world, businesses are bought and sold, and new personnel comes into play at different corporations, and, of course, homeowners come and go. And you might establish a relationship with someone in a company, and the first time that it happened to me, that there was a corporate change, it was really quite shocking when, you know, suddenly a very large customer of mine was hedging and hawing and not committing to their decorating project for that year. And come to find out, there had been a change in the corporate structure, and instead of each property manager at each site deciding what they would have for Christmas, they made it one corporate officer. So one person was now deciding for 20 different buildings. And when I asked them, well, were you unhappy with our service? Oh, no, your service is great. Were you unhappy with the product I provided? Oh, no, the product, oh, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, everything is wonderful. Well, what? Well, now that we're, you know, now that we're contracting for 20 buildings at once, we just felt we should be able to get a price break. So it's like, well, you know, the companies don't give me but a very, very tiny price break when I buy large quantities. And obviously, I'm a smaller business. I'm not Target. I don't buy, you know, containers full of ornaments or lights. You know, I can only offer a small discount, and I certainly can't discount my labor or the labor of my employees. So where does that leave me? So, you know, it left me high and dry is where it left me. So, and that has happened to me again. I had a very large client who demanded quite a bit of my time and energy, and then they had a change in their structure and decided, oh, don't need Isabel anymore. So here we are.
That's a great lesson and story, because it reminds me to sort of remind the audience and myself that all of our clients are really temporary. You know, it's
right.
You may have them for a number of years, but they're not really permanent, and you need to always be planning for that contingency, as difficult as that is, especially when they're large and they demand a lot of your time and you see a lot of value that they get from you. It is a risk to the business, though, that things change, especially over the past few years with all the reorganization and cutting that companies have done. It's been a very challenging time for small and mid-market companies to maintain that relationship that they've enjoyed for years with some of their key clients.
Mm-hmm. It is very difficult. You have to cut corners, you have to tighten your own belt, and you constantly have to market yourself. You can never stop marketing. You always have to market yourself because there's always new people coming into the picture who may not,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the new person, the new kid on the block always wants to show that they can do it better, and, of course, the key word is cheaper. That's the magic word, especially today. Mm-hmm. So they're always going to look for someone who can offer them, you know, to do it for $3 cheaper.
It's interesting because we've had such a variety of guests on Critical Mass, the radio show, Isabel, and a common theme, regardless of the niche, the industry, the whether they're at the high end or mid or wherever they might be in their certain space, this concept of value and clients expecting to really realize greater value when they, you know, they're willing to spend their money, but they're really looking for value, and maybe that translates in a bigger discount, maybe that translates into more services, but generally speaking, people want to make sure they're getting the most they can for the limited budgets that they have and that they're spending.
Right. You know, it's very difficult.
And so that's a challenge.
I spend a lot of time and effort traveling to different trade shows to educate myself about what's up and coming in the world of Christmas and what new products are out there and what new techniques are out there. And it's like it's not valued. You know, the fact that I go this extra effort is just not, you know, it's hard. How do you charge for that? How do you incorporate that into your pricing structure? You know, when they look out and they just see the happy Mary workers out there installing it. And I mean, I've had comments from customers like, well, I know what you pay those people.
Ugh.
Well, what a horrible thing to say, you know, because A, you don't know what I pay my workers, and B, you know, you don't know the amount of training I've given them, and how judgmental and shallow are you? But that's just human nature, I guess. So, you know, like I say, you can't rest on your laurels. You just, excuse me, you have to continue to market yourself and present yourself to the world.
Yes, because you never know what's around the next corner as far as opportunity.
That's right. You never know who's taken over, who's going to retire, and what corporate decision is going to be made, and where it's going to leave you. So you just, you know, you got to work at it. It's like, right. I tell my kids, nobody pays you for your good looks.
Right. I'd like to ask you a question. You know, we feature on this radio show the power of peer groups. My book is on that subject. And
mm-hmm.
the work that Doug and I do outside of the radio show is really helping mid-market companies, small and mid-market companies, through the peer group process.
Right.
Improve the performance of their business through the quality of the decisions that they make. I'm wondering if you could share with our audience from your experience and having looked, you know, over the 10, as
right.
we call them here on Critical Mass, the radio show. Can you share an example of that with our audience today?
Yes. I think the thing that I noted was you classify it as insurance, wishing to run your ideas by other people to avoid other people's mistakes and eliminate a hit-or-miss approach. And that's been difficult for me to find a peer group to do that with, because first of all, my business is so unusual. I mean, how many Christmas businesses are there? You know, and most of them are, I'm the only solely woman-owned business doing what I do, as far as I know. And so it's been difficult to establish a relationship with other companies that are out there, just in terms of having somebody to commiserate with and somebody to not mentor you, but just to exchange ideas with.
Yeah, you know, you are in a unique space, and I'm not sure how many permanent year-round companies are like For All Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Versus maybe, you know, seasonal kind of companies that come in
right.
and come out of the market. So that is a challenge. But, you know, part of what we say, and as I write about in Critical Mass, the book, sometimes the best ideas come from the people who are the furthest removed from your business model, because they come with a very fresh and unbiased perspective many times.
That's true. They're looking at it with fresh eyes.
Yeah, and that diversity is a strength. Over and over again, I'm reminded every month in the meetings that people with very different views on a subject, sometimes that process of deliberation leads to an outcome that if everybody was similar in opinion, you probably wouldn't get to. You know, dissent is a good thing sometimes, and difference
right.
of opinion can be very strong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I wonder if you could share with our audience a current challenge facing For All Seasons, Isabel, and some of the things that you're doing to address that challenge as it relates to your firm.
Sure. Well, one particular challenge that I find is that, as I mentioned briefly before, I am a solely woman-owned business, and I feel like a lot of times the men that I have to deal with, both in the other companies, the other Christmas companies, as well as on the, the people who might hire me, they don't have any appreciation for the amount of knowledge that I have accumulated over the years about my business. And the electrical knowledge, the artistic sense that I put into my work, it's just very difficult to get that across. A lot of times people also feel that, you know, because they can go into a big box store and buy some Christmas yard art and stick it out there on their front lawn, they don't understand that what I sell is of a completely different caliber and is structurally different. It's generally larger. Just everything about it is different. You know, it's just, you know, I don't sell the kinds of things that you would buy in a big box store at all. You know, it's unique, it's special, and of course it costs more money. So that's always an issue for anyone, whether it's in a business or in a home. But if you want it to last a good 5 years and not fall apart, you've got to spend the money on it in the first place and have something that's been engineered appropriately for the site and the situation where it's going to be. So that's always a challenge for me, is getting people to have some understanding of what goes into it. And it's even now, of course, the latest and greatest thing in lighting now is the LED lights.
Right.
And there's a lot to learn about them, and they're more money, but they can save you money, and so you have to sort of weigh those two issues. And there's technical aspects to it that people have to learn and be educated about. You know, are you buying lights that are rectified, fully rectified lights? They'll be brighter. The bulbs are now made of plastic. They're not made of glass. Well, that's a good thing. You don't have to worry about breaking the bulbs. However, if you are in an area or if it's going to be placed outdoors that gets a lot of sunshine, it can cause the plastic to get cloudy, sort of similar to headlights on a car, on an older car. If you notice, they sometimes seem a little more yellow because the plastic casing that goes outside of the lights now has a tendency to get cloudy. Well, it's the same thing with the plastic used for the LED lights. Even though the LEDs don't generate much heat themselves, if they're exposed to a lot of heat, they can get cloudy and lose their brightness and not be as effective as you would want them to be. Plus, as we all know, all of the Christmas items, these LED lights, are manufactured overseas and in China. And a bigger problem that we've had is not with the light bulb itself, but with the standards in the wiring, the electrical wiring. That's why sometimes you'll have a strand of lights and you turn it one way and a section will go out, half the lights will go out, but you turn it back the other way and now the lights come on. Well, that means that the wire is unattached somewhere in that strand, and that issue will remain the same with whether it's LED lights or the old style lights, the little minis that we're accustomed to, or the other size lights too. You know, if the electrical manufacturing standards aren't there, they're not there. They're not there whether it's an LED light or it's a regular old fashioned mini light. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of things to consider. Also, the LED lights don't come in as long a strand. There's not as many lights on them, so you're going to have to purchase more strands to cover the same territory, the same area that you covered the previous year with the old-style lights. You know, generally the LED lights come 70 bulbs to a strand, not 50 or 100 or 200 or even 300. You know, so they just don't come that long. And the ones that do, they're generally sold in big rolls. And anyway, there's a lot of technical stuff that goes into it that makes it, you know, everybody has to learn all of this all over again. And that's always a challenge for me to educate my customers as to those things.
It sounds amazingly complicated, and I can appreciate the amount of planning and technology and knowledge that you have to have. And you started with the observation of being a female in the business and how that the perception of you as a female sort of raises the bar a little bit. And I've got to tell you, we've had quite a number, obviously, of women-owned businesses, and the owners have been on, and it's interesting how often that comes up as a challenge for them in a business, even here and now, and you know, in this day and age. And from my perspective, it's unfortunate, but I'm glad that you were willing to be open and share that with us today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Could you share with us? You know, we have this model for how mid-market companies can compete with others in their industry, and they're able to use a combination of four different strategies in order to have a lasting company that grows and grows profitably. Could you share with our audience of those four different strategies, you know, how have you been able to use them in your firm for all seasons?
Okay, these four strategies, would you remind our audience what they are?
Absolutely. You know, we have, it's very important that the company is relevant to the prospects. In other words, if a prospect wants to do holiday lighting, they think of your name is in that mix. Maybe they use innovation, which is another one of the strategies that these companies use. You know, maybe they develop either new technology or new methodologies, or they're looking for ways, given their limited budgets, but they invest in renewing their products and services so that they're fresh and kind of current with the marketplace. Or maybe sometimes larger companies who have a larger investment in the status quo aren't as willing to be as innovative. And then there are two other ones. One is they're agile. By virtue of being small, they're nimble. They're nimble in thought and kind of organization. And the final one is they're authentic. They're authentic in that they develop their unique value proposition from within their company. They bring to market something that's special about their company and their organization.
Well, as I said, we try to offer both. No, we don't try to. We do. We offer both interior and exterior decor. And most other companies, if someone has a lighting company, that's all they do is the outside lights, not the inside lights or the inside decorations. My company also is run like a real business as opposed to many of these other lighting companies that aren't. I'm fully insured. My employees are well trained. I suit my business to both small and large clients, And what I provide for each client is a custom design and custom decorations for their particular facility. So, for example, if they have chrome inside their lobby, I would use silver accents rather than using gold. I would try to incorporate the colors of the interior decor into the colors used in the tree so that it's, although it's obviously Christmas, it still goes with the decor that exists there. And so each client is unique to me, and I try to give each client a unique design. So in that way, we try to adapt to every single client situation. And, of course, as they go through changes, I just had one large corporate client who moved their corporate headquarters. And we've been trying to devise new interior decor for them. And it's been difficult because it's so, their new decor is vastly different than their old decor was. Mm. And they still need to have Christmas decor. They have national and international contacts coming into the building all, 24/7. And so they need to have something that reflects the new decor. But, as always, money's an issue. So
right.
we're working to suit their needs.
Okay. If someone was interested, Isabel, in learning more about your For All Seasons, you as the leader of that firm, how would you suggest they do that, find out more about your firm?
Well, they can visit my website at www.4allalldecor.com, and it outlines the various things my company does, the primary business being Christmas. And we have also provided event planning and event decor and gift baskets throughout the rest of the year. And they can always just call me up, 877-731-2880. If I'm not here, I'll return their call as soon as I get back.
Well, Isabel, I appreciate the time that you spent with us on the radio show today. Thank you for giving of your time. Thanks for being a friend of Critical Mass, the radio show, and kind of welcome to our business community. I appreciate the time you spent with us this afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Isabel Kaminsky of For All Seasons. It's that time of the year, too, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're interested in what we talked about and would like to learn more, she gave you how to find her on her company online. Hopefully some of you will take that opportunity to go out and learn more about Isabel and her firm. I'm going to be right back with our second guest, but before I do that, I want to go back to the studio for a short commercial break.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
And now back to Rick Franzi and his next guest on Critical Mass for Radio.
Yes, welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass. If you want to join the conversation during the show, feel free to tweet me on Twitter. Best way to do that is to go to the community chat section of octalkradio.net's website and log in there with your Twitter name, and you'll be able to communicate. Possibly we'll have a chance to ask a question that you tweet to me to our guest. I'd like to turn our attention to our second guest. Our second guest is Hector Esparza of HR Upholstery. Hector, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Hector, I'd like to ask you to explain to our audience what it is that your firm, HR Upholstery, does.
Okay. We do custom furniture. We recover furniture. We do anything we build from scratch and we do all kind of, headboards, you name it. whatever it is into that takes upholstery, we do it.
And how did you get started doing this?
Well, you know, I was born upholsterer. I'm like the third generation on my family. And, you know, after working a few years here and there in different shops through Orange County and even D.C., Washington, D.C., many places. And then after a while, I decided that I could be a good sofa maker by my own. That's what I thought.
And when was that?
It was like 17 years ago. It was 1992. I don't have exact on my mind the date that we started. But it was a long time ago.
And so you must, right, 17 years. Congratulations on having a successful business
Thank you.
It is not easy, as our audience knows, who are also business owners and executives.
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you, maybe, but my line is not that good.
I will try to speak up then. I said congratulations on having a business for that long. I know that it's not easy.
Yeah, not easy, but we are here.
Can you tell us what your philosophy, your guiding principle is for leading HR upholstery? What is your guiding principle?
Okay, well, I don't know. It's hard for me to answer that one. I mean, you know, we're not getting rich or making sofas, but, you know, it's pride. It's really good to, you know, to do, to make a unique piece, you know, and it's a lot of rewards, you know, besides the money. And we love that. We like to do that. And I have a great team around me, and we are happy doing that.
Can you talk about a challenge that you're facing with HR upholstery today? Many of the guests that we've had on the show, you know, the past couple of years with the slowing economy has presented a bit of a challenge for some of them. Others, it's been an opportunity. But I'm wondering, for your upholstery firm, can you talk to us about a current challenge that you're facing?
Sure. I think one of the biggest challenge, you know, is I'm old school, diehard, you know. I ignore always technology. I'd rather learn to get more skills to use my router or any sewing machine or all those stuff. And I thought I could hire, you know, a $14 an hour kid to help me with the communications computer. But I find out that I cannot ignore anymore, you know, it's a challenge for me. I cannot ignore anymore, you know, the new technology. So I'm getting into it in order to, you know, to get a better communication with my customers. And it's, you know, to my age, it's a really challenge, but I'm willing to take it. And we're doing fine, thanks God.
Who are your customers?
We work for designers, very good designers, and interior decorators. And, you know, they are great, and, you know, they make us look good. They choose nice colors. They are professionals. So they make me feel good when something comes really nice. They are their creations. I just follow instructions, but, you know, it's a reward again.
Can you talk to our audience about where you see the growth coming from? If you see growth
HR
upholstery?
I cannot hear you.
I was asking, can you tell us about where you see growth coming from?
My what? I'm sorry.
Where do you see the opportunity for growth in your business?
Okay. Believe me, on this type of business, I don't know if it's not a business-like, but you don't want to grow that much because, you know, it's custom again. And everybody's, you know, we have a lot of people begging for work, but this type of business takes a lot of skills, and it takes forever to train someone. And we cannot take the time to do that. So we are trying to grow only, you know, being better, using more technology, like we said before, you know, using my time more wisely. And it's hard on this type of business trying to make it a day company because, again, it's a custom. Every piece has to, you know, take the time. And I think at the size that we are right now, we are okay. We're going to do it better, like I said, with the new technology, using it wisely.
Okay.
I don't know if I expressed myself right.
You're doing very well. If someone would like to get in touch with you, if they're listening in the audience and they say, I'd like to learn more about HR upholstery, how do they get in with you?
We have a website, which is the same name that our company is, H&R Upholstery, at yahoo.com, and that's it. And I don't know if I could give my phone number to you.
Yes, please do.
It's 714-258-2034.
Well, Hector, I appreciate the time that we spent together here on Critical Mass, the radio show. The best of luck in the future with your firm, and thank you for participating in our radio show today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, and I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank
Goodbye.
You very much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I hope you've enjoyed the two guests that I've featured for you today, both Hector and earlier Isabel. Are intended to show you a wide range of businesses that are here in Orange County, because as I said earlier on a different subject, I really believe that diversity is a strength, and that when you have an opportunity, as I do, to meet with so many different type of business owners and so many interesting businesses that I'd like the opportunity to bring to you a wide range. We've had some of the largest companies in Orange County, the CEOs and chairman of the board on Critical Mass, the radio show. We've had recent college graduates who are launching their first full-time business venture. We've had small, medium, and large companies as well that have been around for, you know, 2, 5, 10, 17 years in the case of H&R Upholstery. And so for me, it is really rewarding to have the opportunity to have Critical Mass, the radio show, to really reflection of the type of businesses that are in existence here in the Orange County community, because it is a very diverse business community. Is for those of you that might have been listening to our show yesterday, when we talked about databases and how to make sure you have the right number of prospects in a territory through the use of a database. Our guest was talking, Bob Larkin was talking about the fact that there are 90,000 businesses in Orange County, most of which 75% have a single employee or the owner. But nonetheless, there is a huge volume of businesses here in the county. And so it's always great, as I'm planning future shows, to try to bring you that diversity. And I hope you like to learn from a wide grouping like that. I'd also like to thank Smart Business Magazine for, again, sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you'd like to learn more about Smart Business Magazine, then visit their website, which is www.sbnonline.com, sbnonline.com. And when you go there, you will see prominently, when you go to the Orange County page, which is their Orange County Journal, Critical Mass, the radio show. You'll see it across the banner, and you'll also see another link there. And by clicking that, it takes you directly to our archives. And if you're listening to this show as an archived version, possibly it's because you went through the Smart Business website and found us. So if you'd like to learn more about us being Critical Mass for Business, Doug Gefeller, Rick Franzi, then I would ask you to visit our website, which is critical mass for business.com. And so until the next show, this is Rick Franzi saying, I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Stay tuned for Pilgrim on the 405 coming up next.